Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The NBA Finals are in Miami. The Stanley Cup Final is in Miami. Lionel Messi is coming to Miami, and I'm in Miami. Tony, why aren't you in Miami?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Too close to Levitard. Too close.
Speaking of which, I just spent the last 2 hours with our dear friend, Bam! Dan Levitard in his new digs. You ought to see what a mogul, what an entrepreneur. I mean, what a master of content Levitard is now. It's huge.
I hope he threw some money down so you didn't have to do that. I would hope so. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Chris Paul's future, the LIV Tour might live on, and we will preview tonight's Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final with Kevin Weeks. But we begin today with Denver beating Miami in Miami last night by 15 points and retaking home court advantage and a 2-1 lead in the series. The game was decided in the second and third quarters when Denver outscored Miami 58-44. Both Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray had triple-doubles. Wilbon, you were there. What did last night do to your perception of this series?
Well, Tony, when Jokic and Murray are playing like they did last night, that's what made a lot of people pick Denver in five games. I said six. But when they're playing like that, and I know, look, we haven't even gotten to the point to game four yet, which is here in Miami, and the Heat have come back. Every time they get counted out, they come back. They bounce back. They got plenty of chance to even the series. But when Jokic and Murray are playing like that, that's got to be the number one takeaway. Tony, it was a historic game. You know, two teammates or teammates with triple-doubles in the same game had not happened in the NBA Finals. And to go 30, Jokic throws up a Wilt-like 30-20 and 10 line, and you just go, my goodness, this is when you have to believe he's the best player in the world. So I thought, obviously, that's the headliner. And then I thought that Michael Malone's challenge to his team was a big deal. Yeah. You can talk all you want strategically, and X's and O's always factor in. But Michael Malone went out there, and he challenged his team publicly, and they answered the call. So those were the two things that I came away with from last night.
Yeah, I believe I had this last night, and far be it from me to point out that you thought Miami would win.
I did.
I remember saying to you that I thought Michael Malone, what he had done publicly, was the key to the game. He called out his team. He said they had a lack of effort in game two in Denver, and he put it on the line for his team. I said to you yesterday that Malone had pushed all the chips to the middle of the table, and I said to you that I thought the game was more significant for Denver than it would be for Miami. All the chips in the middle, and he draws aces. I mean, they win that game. Mike, I don't think it matters now if Miami were to win game four in this sense. I believe Denver coming out of this game believes it can and will win this series. Miami has to shoot. They cannot out-muscle Denver. They cannot out-rebound Denver. In game one, their best shooters were 2 for 21. They lost. In game two, 17 for 30, which is great, and they won. Last night, 10 of 32. That's Martin and Vincent and Strus and Robinson, 10 of 32. That's not going to get it done. They have to shoot to win.
Tony, they have to shoot to win, but they have to defend and they have to play with a lot more energy. Now, nobody questioned their effort publicly. Spoelstra didn't do that. Jimmy Butler, though, I thought accurately, and he started with himself. One of the many things I love about Jimmy Butler, he said, we got to play with more energy, and by we, I mean me. And he talked about himself and tone. I thought that Miami was a little low-key on energy to start that game as well. I'm not going to say the series is over because this is the point where we have counted out Miami in the past in these playoffs, whether we're against the Knicks, not Miami because they were up 3-1, and then they were up 3-0 against Boston. But
I'm not counting them out,
Mike. They can even this series Friday night, and we'll see where it goes.
That's right.
But you asked me originally what I took from it. My God, Jokic is great. He's great. And, Tony, he and Murray are a great tandem. I don't think
maybe
we need to discuss their legacy just yet, but they're really, really, really great together.
We move on to another team you love. The Phoenix Suns have a new owner, Matt Ishbia, and a new coach, Frank Vogel, and it looks like they may be going in a new direction without Chris Paul. Various reports indicate the Suns are likely to trade or waive the 38-year-old point guard. Wilbon, you are close to Chris Paul personally. What do you see in Paul's future?
Well, Tony, it's hard to know right now. I mean, you know, you could go big future and talk legacy, and you see Hall of Fame and maybe a broadcast career, maybe an executive career somewhere in basketball. Chris Paul can do whatever he wants. And you mentioned he's 38 years old. But right now, I'm betting he's still going to play basketball. By the way, in his future right now, immediately, I'll be cheesy for a second, he's promoting his new book that I edited at 61. But I won't go down too far down that path. On sale at fine bookstores everywhere. Tony, Chris Paul's family lives in Southern California. And LeBron is famously close to, a lot closer to Chris Paul, LeBron is, than, say, I am. So he can go there if they can work that out. He could go back to the Clippers if they work that out, if your family's in Southern California. I am biased. I hope he stays in Arizona, where I, too, am often. I hope he stays there. I hope he can work with Booker, who I know he loves. I hope that he and Kevin Durant and Booker have more than like a 10-game season. And I think they can still go through that window and get close to, if not win a championship, with Frank Vogel. I do. Get rid of Ayton and go from there. That's what I hope. And all those things are on the table. Trade, rearrange, redo. All that's on the table right now.
Chris Paul had the lowest scoring average of his career this year, 13.9 points. He had two assists fewer this year than he had last year per game. He struggled defensively, and of course, as he does every year, he got injured in the playoffs. I remember when that happened, I said to you, I think he's doomed. I will say this, that I don't believe that you could hire a new coach without giving a new coach an indication that you were going to move on from Chris Paul. So I think they probably knew that in the interviewing process. You're 100% right. He can't be a 40-minute-a-game guy. But he can go to the Lakers and help out. The Clippers have a new point guard every five games. He can help out. He could go to the Boston Celtics, and at the end of games, he could organize that offense, which just looked so haphazard most of the time. So, all of those things, I think, are on the table for Chris Paul.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
But I think he's a 20-minute guy now. I don't think he's a 25-minute,
okay, I'll give you that point. Maybe a little bit longer, more than 20 minutes, but there's so many places he could be. I'm biased. I love Chris Paul. And I think there are teams he could help immensely, and you named a few of them. You did. So, there's some still basketball greatness left in Chris Paul. It doesn't have to be 40 minutes and 82 games anymore. Probably can't be that. Let's move to an ongoing question surrounding the merger between the PGA Tour and the Saudis. Alan Shipnuck of the Fire Pit Collective reports that the LIV Tour plans on continuing past this season. Shipnuck says LIV Commissioner Greg Norman told tour employees on a conference call that LIV is a standalone entity, will continue to be one, and, quote, that comes right from the top, close quote. Tony, what do you make of this?
Well, I make of it that Greg Norman wants that to be true, because if it isn't true, Greg Norman is out of a job.
Right.
I would point out that from what I read, that Greg Norman had no part in the negotiations and was told 10 minutes before the announcement that this was going to happen. So it's possible, Mike, that Greg Norman is paddling around furiously at the moment. We've been talking about this story for 3 days. We have no detail. We have no clarity. We have a bunch of people jumping around as if they know something and they don't know anything. If I understand this merger correctly, it works like this. The Saudis, who were bankrolling the LIV Tour, have decided to bankroll the PGA Tour, create a super PGA Tour with their money. That indicates to me that the LIV Tour might not be long lasting. It might be. But in any case, the agreement also says that Jay Monahan is at the top of the chart, the top of the flow chart on the PGA Tour. So even if it did exist, Greg Norman would have to report to Jay Monahan. That's not going to work. They don't like each other at all.
No.
I think the largest issue here is this: the reunification of the great players onto one tour. How and when is that going to happen? These guys left the PGA Tour. They're going to have to reapply. There's going to be a process to get back in, and I suspect, Mike, there's going to be a penalty of sorts. I don't think they're going to bounce back and forth from one tour to another. I just don't see that.
If I was, say, Brooks Koepka, and I've got the number of majors I've got and the money I've got, and somebody told me to reapply and there would be some penalty, I would tell them to go straight to hell and burn, okay? Okay. That's what I would do. So here's what's going to happen, because a lot of this is speculative junk. Everybody's going to make a lot more money. Everybody. In whatever form, blob this takes. the guys on the PGA Tour now and the guys on the LIV Tour right now, they're going to ultimately come to one place because they're going to need to be under one tent because that's what makes sense. And they're all going to make a lot more money, whether they're wearing shorts or pants, whether there's team play or not, whether this is on the CW or the Golf Channel. Everybody's going to make a lot more money, Tone, and that's all that matters. Even Rory McIlroy in the final analysis. So until they figure this out, I don't want to go incrementally with reading their tea leaves and breaking it down day by day. Come back when you have something to present to us as a product and spend the money. Go ahead, everybody. Cheers.
Yeah, but we got to do a show every day, so we got to talk about something. And I like talking about this. And
I
so
know you
do. Let's take a break. Coming up, the Florida Panthers are sticking with Sergei Bobrovsky in goal tonight. Is that the right call? We're going to ask Kevin Weeks.
We'll also ask whether Matthew Tkachuk needs to dial it down physically. Brooks Koepka, he's going to take orders from somebody on the PGA Tour?
I hear what you
said. Huh?
I think he might. I think he might, depending on what the penalty is. But they're going to have to reapply. That's going to be in there.
Your application,
that's
Holmes.
Why Rory...
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
With Vegas up 2-0, the Stanley Cup final moves to Miami tonight, where we find our great friend ESPN hockey analyst Kevin Weeks. Kevin, we'll start with this. The Florida Panthers pulled their goalie, Sergei Bobrovsky, in Game 2. They intend to start him tonight in Game 3. You were a goalie. In the mind of a goalie now, what's going on in Bobrovsky's mind?
It has to be all about the reset for Sergei Bobrovsky because he's been great this entire postseason. Had not for him, they wouldn't be where they are. Games 1 and Game 2. Game 1 specifically, I thought he was outstanding and gave them a chance. Game 2, he wasn't as sharp, but the team did not play very well in front of him. Penalty trouble kind of coupled with the fact that they were screening him, taking away his sight lines on the puck. So he didn't really have very much help. He could have sued for a lack of support in Game 2 for sure. But coming into this one on home ice down here in Florida, South Florida, I think he's going to be focused and he's going to have his best game of the series, perhaps of the playoffs, to give this some life in their group.
Kevin, let's shift the discussion to Vegas for a moment. A big, strong, fast, physically imposing team. Okay, but it's not just talent. What is making them click right now?
Their synergy right now. Their offensive and defensive synergy is off the charts. The way these guys defend in their defensive zone, they're making plays, they're boxing out, they're getting repossessions, and they're breaking out of the defensive zone pretty quickly, and they're forcing Florida to take shots that they don't want to take. They've done a very good job of dictating Florida's offense to this point. Then on the offensive end, they can make plays off the rush, off the attack, or once they get into the offensive zone, they can make plays off the cycle. And I have to say this as well. Their defense have been a big part of the offense, and Jonathan Marchessault is sizzling along with Jack Eichel on that top line right now for the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm going to bounce back to the Panthers for a second. Matthew Tkachuk was the star earlier of the first couple of rounds, but lately he's just been logging a bunch of penalty minutes. Does he need to dial it back physically? And is that even reasonable or preferable for him to change his approach from the last couple of games?
I think so, because he's a 100-plus point scorer consecutive seasons, last year in Calgary and this year his first year down here in Florida with the Panthers. He's an offensive player. He's a power forward. He can influence a game with some of his physicality, but they need him on the ice. He's a difference maker. He's brought this team into the fight. He helped them get into the postseason. He's helped them get to the Stanley Cup final. Now that they're here, now Matthew Tkachuk's going to have to settle in and play his best. And I'm going to tell you why. The Panthers have been trying to bring this game to the back alleys. The Vegas Golden Knights have no problem playing there. That strategy worked against the first three teams, but it's not going to work against the Vegas Golden Knights right now. So Matthew Tkachuk's going to have to stay out of the box, make some quick plays offensively down low, use his size and his skill, and focus on playing the way he can.
So we'll get you out of here on this, and we'll get you to tonight's game. It seems clear that if Florida loses tonight's game, the series is all but over at that point, which doesn't mean that Florida will lose tonight's game. So I will ask you, which way are you leaning in game three? Not the whole series, in game three.
In game three, based on my conversations with two of the GOATs yesterday at MJ's Grove 23, with the great one, Wayne Gretzky, and the GOAT 23, my man MJ, I'm going to say I'm leaning with the Florida Panthers because they got to get off the mat. They're at home in South Florida. They're not just hanging out at the Grove like I was. They're not at South Beach hanging out at the one rooftop like maybe Wilbon was. They're going to dial it in, and I look for them to have a big one tonight on home ice here in Florida.
Wait, we can't let you go without asking you. You were with both GOATs. Now, these are the true GOATs. Gretzky and Jordan.
GOATs.
Jordan and Gretzky. Man.
Well, let's get
Rarified
to something more
air.
Pressing here. What did you shoot if you went and played
Grove? Did you win some
and
money?
And you were in your own cart, you know, and you were going 80 miles an hour like everybody else there. What did you shoot?
Listen, I'm a smart enough man to know what I don't know. And what I don't and what I know is the fact that I'm not really a great golfer. And when I was around all those elite cats, I just wanted to sit back. I sat in the clubhouse the whole time. I was in there watching them play cards, talking, soaking up all the knowledge. So I didn't even go out there because MJ blew the horn after they had gone out and everybody came back in and we're playing some cards and having some conversation. So that was an Ivy League education in listening to two GOATs. I'll put it to you that way.
Good for you.
Good for you.
And thanks
Kevin.
For being on, yeah. Kevin. Thanks,
man. Appreciate you.
All right, fellas. Thank you. Thanks for having
me on,
man.
Keep up the
great work. Thank you.
Still to come, are the Vikings right to release Dalvin Cook?
And will Oklahoma win the Women's College World Series tonight? Tony, I'm about an hour and a half or so from the Grove. You think somebody would let me on if I drove up?
I think they would. Not only would they let you on, I think they'd let you play 36. Because I'm told the guy who owns that joint...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 40th birthday, Kim Clijsters, the Belgian tennis player and former world number one, won four majors, one Australian and three U.S. Opens. Her career was interrupted periodically by retirements. Clijsters first retired at age 23 in 2007. She came back after the birth of her first child. She retired again in 2012. Clijsters came back for a third time in 2020 and then retired for good in 2022. All three of her children were born during her retirements. Her Belgian countrywoman, Justine Henin, now 41, won seven majors, four French, one Aussie, two U.S. Opens. They're wonderful players, their careers were completely overshadowed by Serena Williams, who was their contemporary and who overshadowed everybody.
Yeah, Tony, you know, I didn't like the Belgians, and I used to rip them all the time.
Yes,
you did. Until there were women and former women formerly on the tour, who said to me one day, "Why do you hate the Belgians?" And I said, "I have no rational reason for hating the Belgians. Why? I said, they're very nice people. Stop it." So I did.
Good. Happy anniversary, NFL. On this day, 57 years ago, the NFL and AFL merged, ending 5 years of direct competition. Both leagues had thrown money at college players to convince them to join their league over the other league. As salaries increased and the upstart AFL proved it was in for the long haul, the NFL decided a merger was the prudent course. The merger called for the leagues to become centralized in 1970 under the name NFL. To balance out the conferences, three NFL teams, Steelers, Browns, Colts, were paid $3 million each to move to the AFC. The league invented the Super Bowl and then began to catch money as it fell from the sky.
And nobody had to reapply to get into the NFL.
Right.
Nobody from the AFL had to pay a fee to get into the National Football League. And now everybody, people like you particularly, just sort of, slurp the shield. That's where we are.
You sure? Happy trails, Dalvin Cook. According to various reports, the Minnesota Vikings running back is expected to be released tomorrow if he can't be traded. Cook is coming off a fourth straight 1,000-yard season. Been with the Vikings for six seasons. Although Cook gained 1,173 yards last season, his average yards per attempt, 4.4, was the lowest of his career. His 69 yards per game, second lowest of his career. His 8 touchdowns, second lowest in the last 4 years. Cook, 27, was due to make $11 million if he spent this entire season with the Vikings. Wilbon, doesn't it seem like the Vikings are an annual disappointment?
Well, because they are. Running backs have been so de-emphasized, Tony, there's just no telling. You can't even tell who's great or potentially great or impactful anymore because coaches don't want them.
Quick to the big finish. Number one seed Iga Świątek and unseeded Karolina Muchová advanced to Saturday's Women's French Open final. Which is the bigger deal?
Muchová's unseeded in the French Open final. Beat the number two to get there. Longtime Notre Dame AD Jack Swarbrick will retire next year. That's a big deal, right?
They got their own network for football. Yeah, that's a big deal job. Luisa Rise of the Marlins went 2-for-4 yesterday, is now hitting .403. Do you like him better today than yesterday?
I like him every day, but just don't start giving me Ted Williams before we get to the middle of June, please. Justin Verlander versus Spencer Strider tonight. Who you got?
I got Verlander, but I had Scherzer last night.
he got rocked.
Last one, Oklahoma can win the Women's College World Series tonight, but will they?
Yes, it's all they do. But Florida State will finally start Catherine Sandercock, their ace. I don't understand why they didn't pitch her last night, but what do I not get? Oklahoma's likely to win.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter. Watch the hockey tonight, Tone. It's a puck night.